I'm Scott Clapson here on KCIW. We are here today for Perspectives in Healthcare, and I am here with some of our members of our Community Advisory Council and Josh Bullock from All Care Health. How are you all today?
Wonderful. Good.
It's sunny. It's great.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So Holly, would you like to introduce yourself first?
Sure. I'm Holly Strom. I am the Public Health Director for Curry County, and I am currently the All Care Community Advisory Council Chair. That's
cool.
My mouthful.
Absolutely. Karen?
I'm Karen Larson. I am a community member of the All Care Community Advisory Council.
And I'm Josh Ballack. I'm the Vice President of Government Affairs and Health Policy for All Care Health. I actually live in Grants Pass, but I travel all over the place and really excited to be here with these lovely ladies and yourself.
Awesome. Thank you all for joining us. So we do have a purpose today for getting together. We're talking about the All Care Health Curry County Community Advisory Council meeting. Thursday, June 2nd from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Chetco Grange in Harbor. This is so exciting, right?
Absolutely.
Very exciting.
I'm excited to bring it to Brookings this year.
Yes.
This time.
Yeah. We've done them in Brookings and Gold Beach in past years, but
yeah,
this one's kind of got a little bit of a different format than in the past.
Yeah.
So Karen and Holly and I have been sitting on planning calls together, planning this event, and, this event is open to everyone in the community, right? We're looking for all sorts of people from the community to come and participate and give us some feedback.
Absolutely. I think we're looking for people, All Care members would be fabulous to come and join us, but really anybody in the community that has input on healthcare issues, issues to the community, or has an interest in trying to see what kind of projects All Care is doing in Curry County.
Absolutely.
I don't know for a fact, but I suspect that a lot of members of our community are not aware of how much All Care contributes to other things besides healthcare directly, which, you know, we'll talk about. But there's supplemental food programs, there's food insecurity is being addressed by the healthcare, All Care healthcare, and I'm very excited to be able to share that with people.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few things too, right? The Peer Advisory Council for Curry Community Health for the mental health division,
yes,
right?
Definitely.
And also the Community Recreation Center and the task force, right? All Care's been helping to provide the facilitator for those meetings. So there's actually quite a few different areas that are being supported.
Right. I'm really excited about the prospect of having the aquatic center up and running and having a model for that for the community, mm-hmm. because I know it's something that the community's been working on for years, and it's exciting to see All Care support that for the health of our community and being active and really get it out there on another level than it's been previously.
Absolutely. And maybe for our listeners that don't know, these items that we've just mentioned have come out of our Community Health Improvement Plan, also known as our CHIP. That's the acronym that we use affectionately at our meetings. And those came from some community surveys and from some focus groups around Curry County. And they identified some different areas. And these go, you know, we have to readdress this, right, after a couple of years of working on these particular areas. And we also are required, and maybe Josh can speak a little bit to this, that we have to have a public meeting, right? It's like at least once a year, correct?
Actually, once a quarter.
Once a quarter. Okay. And that's, maybe this would be a good time to maybe address that. Like, there's actual legislation that goes in with this that tells us that we have to have these meetings.
So I misspoke. Let me rephrase that. You have to have three at least quarterly meetings, and one of them public or all of them public. So there's, okay. And everybody kind of does them a little different, mm-hmm. depends on what you're talking about and these types of things. But yes, you have to have meetings publicly and a consistent time of actually having them on a routine basis. To go back a little bit about having as many people there as possible, I want to make sure that folks appreciate that when we look at our community advisory councils as partners. Not only are you represented on our community advisory, or the community advisory committee is represented on our board, but also we're going to have employees from AllCare who actually take copious amounts of notes, and that informs us not only how the community advisory councils are going to do stuff, but also how we're going to do other investments that may be even that above and beyond. So this is an opportunity to help shape the direction of where AllCare goes. We totally understand that the best people to make the best decisions are at the ground level, and we very much welcome and appreciate people who take the time to come and tell us what is needed, because that's what we're going to do.
That's really awesome. So there's a real reason to be there, right? Because yeah. This is, I was just at this Oregon Health Authority event earlier this week, and I was so impressed at when we went around the room and we got to meet these people from these different coordinated care organizations around the state. AllCare is leaps and bounds ahead of the other CCOs in the state that help administer the Oregon Health Plan for these clients. And I was so fortunate to be there and as a volunteer, right? And have people coming up to me and talking to me about all these cool things that we're doing. And I'm so thrilled that, you know, we have such an awesome CCO, that coordinated care organization, define my acronyms yes. for our listeners, that cares so much about us and believes in our collective wisdom as a community.
So, and I just, I'm speaking the truth here. So I think it's, I've actually gone to a lot of community advisory council meetings. People routinely refer to the Curry County Community Advisory Council as one of the leading ones in the state, in that they are the most innovative. They're the willing to put in hard-earned time. They come up with really creative solutions that tend to be very pragmatic to boot. And that just there's a general willingness to just try new things. And I'll tell you this much, as somebody who's as an organization that's trying to improve stuff, it's a lot easier when it's the folks at the ground level telling us what needs to happen to make it happen. So, you know, this is a really cool organization, and I encourage anybody who wants to be part of it to come be a part of it.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think Curry Community Advisory Council has rock star qualities. I've heard that word referred to our, yeah, just so I just add that.
Well, aren't we rock stars? I thought we had our own band.
I know. I think other people have called us that too. So,
so what's your stage name is the question.
We think we have a band.
Holly thinks we have a band. We're not sure. So
I wanted to say one more thing about the community health improvement plans that are required for each of the community advisory councils, that not all of the CCOs in the state, the coordinated care organizations, give money to those groups. And so it's really, we feel really, thankful that AllCare does give our group money, so that the Curry group, people that live in the community, can decide what projects we think are important to our citizens and the health of our community, and invest in those with our own decision-making power. So
can I make a plug now for the advisory
committee? You can totally make a plug.
I'm just a community member. I don't have a lot of acronyms after my name that got me on this advisory council. I just submitted an application, probably because Scott put a bug in my ear. But nevertheless, it's been one of the best decisions I've made. And we will have applications available at this dinner, too, so that if anyone is really interested in learning more about the healthcare, learning about how to contribute, they can also be part of it.
Yes, absolutely. We have a really great flyer for the Community Advisory Council, and it's kind of like got a who, what, how, why, and how. And I think we as a council have been really deliberate about that. And the why part of it, of why we need you on the council, is to help us improve healthcare services for you, your family, and the communities we serve. And those of us that are from Curry County, we know that sometimes there's gaps living in a rural area, and there's sometimes needs that don't really get met. But there are innovative, pragmatic ways, like Josh was saying, that we're working to address these things. And we just like new voices at the table, right? Because that's how we
sometimes run out of ideas in our brains, and we need new, fresh ideas.
Absolutely. Well, and also new council members, right?
Yes.
Because some people are getting ready. Yeah, there's terms. I believe it's a 3-year term for ours. And we have at least one person that I know of that's getting ready to term out. And so, yeah, we're absolutely looking for people to serve on the council. If you're interested, you can actually contact Kari Swoboda at 541-471-4106. Again, that number is 541-471-4106. And her name is Kari, and she is the Community Advisory Council Coordinator for Jackson, Josephine, and Curry Counties. So this meeting is going to be pretty exciting. We're going to feed people, right? So there's going to be food.
Definitely food.
Definitely food.
It's during dinner, so.
Yes, there's going to be, like Karen shared, there's going to be an opportunity to learn about some of the community health improvement plan projects that we've been collaborating with different community-based organizations on. But I think the biggest thing, like Josh was pointing out, like we're looking for people's input. And so there's definitely going to be chances for people that come to be able to share not only at the tables that they're sitting at with the people that they're eating with, but also the opportunity to have some of these things written down themselves so we can take these back to our community advisory council and start talking about as we move forward, what are some new innovative other things that we can possibly partner with and help make happen.
I think it's really important because some of us work in the healthcare field and others of us are members of All Care, but we don't represent everyone's voice.
Right.
And so we really need others at the table that might have different circumstances, might have different challenges to say what is working well for them, what improvements need to be made, so that the council can then take that to the leadership at All Care. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you bring up a really important point. We talked about this at the Oregon Health Authority meeting earlier this week, that when we have someone on the council that they really can't speak for their group, that they only can speak from their personal experience. Right. And so, yes, the more people that we have that are involved, and especially the more people that come to this meeting that maybe, right, maybe they don't necessarily want to sit on the advisory council, but they want to give input. I'm thinking of Tom Bozak, our wonderful tech here and president of KCIW, who was at the focus group at the library with me when I first got introduced to All Care at the library a couple years ago with Vanessa Becker. So there's a lot of people in the community that are interested in this process that maybe aren't necessarily on the Oregon health plan, but definitely care about the health of the members in our community.
And I think the other part is this is a really special place and time for the coordinated care organization, for the model. Right now, the Oregon is actually in negotiations with the federal government to extend what's known as the 1115 waiver, or essentially it allows Oregon to say, hey, we're going to do healthcare the Oregon way. And every 5 years you have to renegotiate it. And right now they're talking about those things. And I think and if you don't think that you here in Curry County can make a difference, I know for a fact that people inside of the White House have reviewed the Community Advisory Council's recommendations and CHIPs that we have submitted to the state. It was a huge deal as we were getting these things up and running, and it was a quintessential part of making CCOs work, because the whole idea was you had to be accountable to the members that you serve. And this is an opportunity to actually help shape that discussion while we move forward into the next 5 years. And because of the politics of everything that's going on, there probably won't be a lot of changes in 17 when the official renewal happens, which means if you want to make a change, now's the time to do it. So I really want to put that into place, that we really are looked upon not only as statewide leaders, which I think is really important and it's really great. And the cool thing is we're a small enough community. We can make big change fast, which is exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
But we are looked upon as statewide leaders, but more importantly, Oregon's looked upon as a national leader. That puts us at the tip of the spear. That means big changes that can fundamentally change the way Oregon, the United States, does healthcare could start here in Brookings or in Port Orford or in Gold Beach or anywhere else. So
yeah,
I really do encourage people to participate. It's exciting, sometimes a little scary on my end, but it really is exciting and fun and a real sense of accomplishment that can really come out of it.
And quickly, in the short time that I've been involved, I've seen the dollars that All Care Health has contributed to this area get traction and begun to, you know, develop programs and continue programs that have really been helpful, especially for children. So that's been a real encouraging part of my involvement here.
And I think one theme that is going to definitely be popping up, and you'll start reading about this probably in newspapers and other things, is around housing and around this idea of housing as healthcare. As it turns out, you can't really treat your diabetes if you're sleeping in your car. And I think people intrinsically knew that, but now we're finally getting to a place where maybe people making the right decisions at government level are starting to break down some of these really arcane, idiotic rules. Yeah, you can quote me on that. I'm okay with it. and it's time that we started to actually really think creatively. And again, that's where this coordinated care model and the ability at a local level, we can literally show the rest of the nation the way that we can do this and where that will be beneficial, not only to the bottom line, but much more importantly, to our community. I mean, we will make a healthier community that will make a generation next that will be healthier. And, you know, it's a really exciting times. But I think that housing piece and people's kind of input and just coming and saying, hey, these are some of the difficulties that we've had, could go a huge way. Just if you could come and just tell your story so that we can share those things with the powers that be to really hone in that, hey, this is an investment we as a nation need to start doing.
Absolutely. It sounds a lot to me like you began talking about the social determinants of health. And we had talked a little bit before this podcast if we were going to go into that. But I think it bears talking about really quick that where we live, work, and play really does matter. And that a small portion of our healthcare or well-care, as I'm hearing it referred to at a lot of these meetings and events, doesn't happen in the provider's office, but actually out in our communities. And it really does matter. Housing, it matters access to healthy, nutritious food. Hence why we're working so hard to get all of these young kids gardening and teaching them about gardening and expanding their knowledge. And I've heard some people say, well, how many gardens are you going to have around? Well, as many as it takes for everybody to be able to get their hands in the dirt. Because it's really important for these kids to know what a carrot looks like and how to grow the carrot and things like that and engage with their family around those things. So thank you, Josh, for touching on the social determinants of health. That's been a running theme through these perspectives and healthcare podcasts that we've had.
I think another thing that I know Scott and I have talked about a lot and feel pretty passionate about is the whole idea of having health insurance for those people that have probably often a lot of them never had health insurance before. And what does that mean? And when should you go to the doctor? And who do you call if you're having, you know, these problems? And I think that the other opportunity is to come to the meeting and really ask those questions and find out what is available to you, because I mm-hmm. think that there's a lot of services that are available to all care members that perhaps members aren't aware of. Maybe they haven't been to their primary care provider for a while. Maybe they don't know who that is. Maybe they don't know how to get there. And those things are all very easily figured out, but sometimes it takes a little push to get, mm-hmm. who do you call, you know?
Yeah. So. And maybe they could take ReadyRide there, couldn't they?
They could
and
take ReadyRide.
And maybe they don't know that they have that opportunity
that
to get there and get transportation, right? Or maybe they don't know that Laura McKean, the dental integration staff person from All Care, was on a podcast with Kari and I recently. And we talked about this, that there's a number of people that don't know that they have dental benefits, that mm-hmm. this is a new thing. And so these people that are on OHP traditionally have not had dental benefits. And so they're just under the impression that they don't have dental benefits still. And so it's a new thing for people to realize that, oh, I can go more than just have my tooth pulled when, you know, because that was the option really before was, well, I don't want to go have my tooth pulled, but now there's more available to them. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, and I think the other great thing about the way the system got set up was we are actually incentivized to do more preventative care. So mm-hmm. our job, the best case scenario is that you never have to go to the hospital. The best case scenario is that we've treated you, we've had these conversations, we've done all the different preliminary stuff so that you never get sick in the first place. And actually that benefits everybody if that ends up happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real beauty of it. So, you know, there's often a lot of preventative services, like stuff I didn't know about was dental sealants for kids that if you can get mm-hmm. them capped and, you know, that'll prevent cavities in the near future and long-term future for your kids. Those are free. That's mm-hmm. that's stuff we want to be able to provide for our members.
Mm-hmm.
I know another big push that the state is making on the that's, how do I want to say this? Anyway, one of the big goals is to get adolescents in for their well child exams. And there are some incentives being put out for teens that come in and either to their primary care provider or the school-based health center, if they go to Brookings Harbor School District, to come in and maybe get a gift card for getting their well child exam, just to kind of reteach people that haven't had that, you know, because you think you're a teenager, you don't really need shots anymore, so what is the point of going? But, you know, there's a lot of teaching that happens and talking about mental health issues and different things like that. And, you know, you never know when you're going to have a problem, so you want to prevent the problem, mm-hmm. so that you don't show up in the ER with something, mm-hmm. except for unless you have a broken arm.
Yeah, and that's a really good reason to go to the ER.
Yeah.
Then please go to the ER.
Please don't come to the school-based health center.
But it's really important too, right? Like I'm thinking also like the mental health working group that I'm a part of with the Community Advisory Council and addressing these gaps in services for people that need mental health services in a county like Curry that traditionally it's not been. I remember when I moved back here 3 years ago, I tell this story a lot. I called and I was basically sent a list in the mail and said, hopefully you can figure out who to go to. These are all sliding scale and it's going to cost you at least $20. And it was very like stunning to me because I was a student. I didn't have any money and I definitely needed to see a therapist. And just to realize that just the efforts that Curry Community Health is making around mental health and the ways that All Care and the Community Advisory Council are partnering to be sure these people that need mental health services, because there's a lot of people struggling with a lot of different things in this county, and just making those things more available and accessible.
The other thing on that note, as far as just kind of trying to get in the system and find out who to call, is that I know All Care has sponsored a community health worker, two of them for our agency for Curry County. So one is in Gold Beach, placed at the Department of Human Services, and one will be placed at the Brookings Harbor School District in the next year. And then I believe they also have a community health worker who works full-time in Brookings to help people that might have questions about who they should go to, how do they start. You know, some of the systems are complicated, and we can't always take away all the complications at this point, although we're working on it. But those community health workers are people to basically help navigate the system. Who do you call? How do you get the ride from Ready Ride? How do you get to the farmer's market to get some of the food benefits that you have access to? So that's really awesome, because traditionally Curry County, we haven't had those community health workers, mm-hmm. but it's definitely up and coming in the healthcare world now.
And I think it's also it's the ability to kind of come alongside someone and say, hey, you might not even know what you necessarily need.
Yeah.
So, or what options you've got. I mean, we had a person who got discharged once, and he ended up back in the ER relatively quickly because he had popped some stitches. Well, we found out he popped the stitches because he was cutting wood, and because he had wood heat at his house. And so we actually ended up buying him a quart of wood so that he wouldn't go pop any more stitches. But that, it's those types of questions. And so we can come up alongside these folks and say, how are you heating your house? Maybe that's something that we need to address. You know, do you have a ride from X, Y to Z? Do you have somebody to come and check on you? It sounds really basic and rudimentary, but it's so essential to making this work.
And it's what's been missing, I think, in the healthcare in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so hard as a person who has done a lot of case management in my past. You know, how do you get on food stamps if you live in Brookings and you can't get to Gold Beach? And how do you get signed up for all these different services? And so those community health workers are really there to help with resources, not just related to healthcare, but where, you know, I need housing and what are the options in Brookings and or Gold Beach or Port Orford, and how do I get on food stamps? And, you know, maybe I could get to WIC, or just different options where you're thinking more about the whole picture instead of just the healthcare, which is really critical. Because like Josh had mentioned earlier, if you don't have a place to go at night, you're probably not really focusing on, you know, getting your child in and having that well child checkup if you don't know where you're going to sleep.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
So the recognition that we've shifted from a, gosh, if there's something broken or bleeding, you go to the hospital, ER or whatever, to I'm not living well. I'm not thriving. I'm not doing well with my kids. I'm not doing, I'm depressed. This is a holistic approach to something's not right. And I can go, there are resources and my health care plan is addressing that. And they know what I can do. So I love that we've turned that corner.
I think our board president, who's a doctor, primary care doc out of Grants Pass, said it as well as he possibly could have. You know, we're going from a healthcare delivery system to a system that facilitates health, and that is a really fundamental switch. And the really fun part is it's doctors and our community helping drive that, and it's exciting. Like I said, I mean, this is something very unique in...
It's very different
yes,
than the previous healthcare system that we've had.
Pretty mm-hmm. much anywhere in the United States.
And it's really exciting, I think, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. see Oregon be a leader in that is exciting. I know when I go to the state conferences and stuff, everyone wants to, you know, talk about how great Oregon is. And so, and all care. Which
I know.
I am not paid by all care.
I know. Let's just make this really clear. Yeah. So of the four of us on this podcast, Josh is the only one whose staff with all care, Karen and Holly and I are all volunteers with the Community Advisory Council. So we're just community members, or in Holly's case, Holly works for public health, but I work for the Chetco Activity Center. So I work for a local nonprofit, but we're community members who care about these issues in our community and how we make this change from being very, we talked at the Oregon Health Authority conference earlier this week, going from kind of provider driven and having things structured so then the consumer or person that's accessing the services doesn't necessarily fit, to making it consumer and member driven so it actually addresses their needs better. And I really love that. And I wanted to go back to something you said, Karen, about this idea kind of operating like in a strengths-based model. There was a really great presenter named Sharon Kuhn, I think is how you say her last name. And I want her to come to the CACs. I already talked to Bevan and Kari, and we've introduced them.
Of course you did.
Of course I did, yes. I'm a little tornado. Wind me up and watch me go. So one of the presentations was on appreciative advocacy, which is kind of like appreciative inquiry. And the idea that oftentimes, yeah, we operate thinking of like what's not working, and we kind of focus on what's not working, and then we get more of what's not working, and we get more of what's not working. And then we wonder why we're sitting in this mess of what's not working, because we've only been focusing on the problem. And Sharon shared some really powerful things about appreciative advocacy, and that everybody has strengths. Even some of these people that we look at that we maybe think that, well, you know, they've got so many needs. Well, they also have a gift to give, right? They also have, there's also opportunities and strengths. So we talked a lot in her presentation, which is why I want her to come to the three community advisory councils for all care and do a training with us, was kind of looking at as kind of like a glass half full kind of approach. So we start looking at like, what are the opportunities instead of the problem? What are the solutions, and how do we kind of, so we actually spent a better part of an hour and a half kind of looking at different things and kind of shifting our focus and thinking about this idea of appreciative advocacy. And then also too, talking kind of about how we show up really has a lot to do with the experiences that we've been through in our lives. So sometimes like things that, you know, we talk about meeting norms and stuff in our meetings, that trauma can show up in different ways in people's lives. And how do we come alongside of those people in our community that maybe who have been through really traumatic experiences, and that sometimes they need some compassion and a little bit more understanding rather than shaming, and how we go about sort of reframing this whole conversation.
I want to say, as a nurse who has my master's in social work, the hardest thing that I had to learn in school was to identify strengths in people, because as a healthcare professional for 20 years, we looked at problems. And so that's really helped me personally look at things in a different way. But it's going to take a while to get the medical community there, because, you know, it's typically been a problem-based mm-hmm. practice. So I appreciate
yeah.
that.
That's yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to have her come and do a presentation to us.
And all this is why we want people to show up next Thursday night at 5:30, because we've got things to tell those that may be not aware, are still worried, still maybe not sure that they can ever get relief or help. that there are a lot of people talking about it, and doctors are talking about it, and people are talking to doctors about it, and they're giving us feedback. And I, you know, my experience with my provider, my personal healthcare provider has changed because I see that person as a different individual, not just somebody who's going to fix me and send me on my way, but somebody that I can ask questions and expect something to work, you know, to both of our, really, our positive engaging. And I'll feel better and, you know, thank the doctor, which, what a nice thing to do for a doctor, thank them mm-hmm. for helping make Absolutely. You feel better. So that's a shift. It has to happen, but it's really possible. So I'm really here to encourage
yes.
the masses of Curry County.
I hope we don't have enough food. I won't eat.
Well, I was thinking we're going to be right across the street, right? This will be another really great plug. Thursday, June 2nd from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Chetco Grange and Harbor, kitty corner across the street from Wild River's Pizza. So we can always, worst case scenario, we just call Wild Rivers and we ask them to bring a couple boxes of pizza True. Over, right?
Yes.
I mean,
That's
it's not like
healthy.
We haven't had, well, we've had Wild Rivers Pizza at our meetings before, right?
So we can't help it.
I know, we can't help it. Well, everybody likes pizza, right? I mean, at some point we have to have
I put lettuce
like
on
too.
My pizza. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was totally low calorie.
And again, if you have questions about this public meeting, you can call Kari Swoboda at 541-471-4106. So Josh, you said something really interesting before this podcast, before we started recording, about the money that we have saved the federal government. Could you address that? Because I know I'm getting a lot of questions like, well, isn't this costing a lot? Well, you're giving all these people dental care and you're giving them
health insurance
and you're letting them go see the therapist. So they're thinking that it's costing a lot of money when really it's actually about changing the way the money's spent.
So when we got coordinated care organizations started, we basically went back to the federal government and we said, hey, we've got this crazy idea to, which actually is not crazy. It's actually totally makes sense, but they've never tried it before, to give people preventative care. And then because of that, over time, you will see really expensive ER visits and other chronic conditions drop. And over the long run, we will be able to save the federal government money. And we even took it a step further and we promised them we would not grow our Medicaid budget more than 3.4% for the next 10 years, which everybody around the nation went, you're insane. Because traditionally, it had been at the high point, as high as 11% a year increasing on the Medicaid budget side. I think for the last 4 years, it's been around 5.3 to 5.5, depending on what state and kind of how you measure it, but essentially in that ballpark. Well, just in the 4 years we've been the coordinated care organizations, we've kept it actually a little below 3.4, and the national trend has been at 5.5. We have saved already the federal government $1.7 billion in 4 years by just bending that cost curve that little bit. It is a huge, and if you project that out over the next 6 years, because actually the inflation rate's expected to go up and we're capped at 3.4, we'll probably save the federal government somewhere between $6.7 and $6.9 billion. And that's the really conservative end. I've heard as high as numbers as $9 billion. So this preventative care model allows us to be able to do these other investments. And why we keep talking about the social determinants of health and why that keeps being a thread in your conversations is because we believe that is what I would lovingly refer to as transformation 2.0, because that we've kind of picked the low-hanging fruit in the coordinated care model and being able to get mental health and dental and physical health kind of sort of talking. We can always do better. I'm not saying that we're done. There's still lots of stuff we need to do, but the really easy things of just, you know, not duplicating things and getting preventative care out in the community a little more efficiently, we're doing those. We're now looking at those other big things, the transformation 2.0 stuff of housing and food and education and all of those things that really do impact your health. And the idea is that if we can do those, we're not going to save the federal government $10 billion. We're going to save them 20, 30, 40 over the lifespan of the people that we're helping. So that's the concept. That's the goal. Early numbers are in and is showing incredible results. So, you know, that's why we are able to do this, and hopefully we can keep doing it.
So if you're a skeptic and you're not really sure what those of us in the community that keep talking about this healthcare transformation nonsense, and you think that we're just spending everyone's taxpayer dollars on giving these people free healthcare, you just heard Josh, and we're actually saving the federal government a lot of money by presenting things in a prevention lens, right? Rather than a sick kind of, you know, I heard something amazing at one of these summits, conventions, trainings that we went to, and they said, what if empty hospital beds were more profitable than full hospital beds? And that's kind of the model that things have been operating in, was how can we, you know, with diabetes, I'm thinking as an example, how can we just keep giving some, well, now let's talk to them about changing their diet. And you can actually like reverse a lot of the effects of some types of diabetes by just what you're putting into your body instead of continuing to eat processed foods, and just kind of having those real conversations that we can really do some things about some of the stuff that's happened to people, and just by coming alongside of them and getting them the support that they need. And it could be as simple as, you know, buying someone a cord of wood. So as we come to the end of this podcast, I don't want to leave anything out. If anybody maybe had some things they wanted to share, I know that we've all spent a lot of time kind of giving our feedback on those of us on the Community Advisory Council, what we want this meeting to look like. So it's more community member focused rather than just what we're, cause we're doing great things as a Community Advisory Council, but we really want to engage their voices. Holly, do you have any last thoughts?
I don't have any last thoughts. I'm really excited about next week, and I hope we can get some of the community out, to talk with us and let us know how they feel. As the chairperson for the Community Advisory Council, I can tell you that the Board of Directors for All Care is very interested in hearing what the community has to say. And so please come and tell us.
And as a parent, a local parent, mm-hmm. kids are welcome, right? So if people want to bring their...
Of course.
Yeah, so...
I won't bring all of my kids.
You won't bring all your kids?
She's got a lot.
Got a lot of kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you have a family and you want to bring your kids, you're welcome to bring your kids. We won't have necessarily like a kids, like a childcare, but the kids are welcome to participate and absolutely. Be a part of the meeting. Yeah.
Come and eat.
So please come bring your families and eat. Karen.
I guess what I want to say is I believe that when people want to feel better and know how to feel better, they will do something about it. And this is an opportunity for the community to say, I'm not feeling good about this. I'm not feeling heard about this. I'm not sure you guys know what you're doing. And really ask the questions. We're ready to stand up and answer the questions or find a way to answer the question. And so please come and enjoy that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen. Josh?
I just want to say thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come tonight. And sincerely, we need the community. We need folks like you three to help us guide how we're going to do this. And I mean this when I say this. The eyes of the nation literally are looking at Curry County. It is an opportunity to really engage. And hopefully anybody listening to this podcast, you know, even if it's just 15 minutes to come down and say, hey, this is my story, that can make a big difference. So,
absolutely.
We should have music now.
We should totally, like the Rocky theme.
Oh, our band.
Our band, totally, Holly. We're like Jem and the Holograms, except for Holly and the Hologram. Absolutely.
She's the front person.
She I'll is the drums. Front person.
She should be a yes. hologram.
Josh is our drummer. Karen on bass.
We won't bring the band to
yeah,
the
Yeah, we promise.
Meeting.
Although the Grange has recently been sort of redone inside with new like acoustics and everything, so we totally could bring the band if we
Next
wanted.
Time.
Next time, absolutely, at the next public
Uh-oh.
Meeting. So our public meeting is Thursday, June 2nd. It's from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Chetco Grange in Harbor, right across the bridge where the farmer's market has been up to recently. Dinner will be provided. The address for the Chetco Grange is 97895 Shopping Center Avenue. If you have questions about this public meeting, you can call Kari Swoboda, the Community Advisory Council Coordinator, at 541-471-4106. Bring your family or a friend and join us for dinner. We're really excited about this public meeting and the chance to engage with members of our community. And this is open to everybody. You don't have to live in the Brookings Harbor area. I have some friends, I have to say, I've invited some people from Del Norte County.
California?
Californians? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Kelly Nolan, I'm so excited that she's coming. So if you are listening to this podcast and you don't live in the Brookings Harbor area, please join us anyway. We certainly would welcome you. I'm Scott Clapson. Here on KCIW, you've been listening to Perspectives in Healthcare. I've been here today with Holly Strom, Karen Larson, and Josh Bullock. Josh works for All Care Health, and Karen and Holly and I serve on the Community Advisory Council for All Care Health. Thank you so much for listening. KCIW is a nonprofit. We always gratefully accept and welcome your donations, and look for us on the radio waves very soon. Be sure to share these podcasts with your friends and family, and come to our public meeting Thursday, June 2nd from 5:30 to 7:30. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.
Okay, I got a little public service announcement here to give out to everybody on how you can help. Like, say you're interested in becoming a foster parent. You can call Child Welfare at 541-247-5437. If you're interested in becoming a member of CASA, which is a court-appointed special advocate, you can call Mona at 541-813-2272. If you'd like to volunteer at Oasis Shelter Home, you can call them at 541-425-5238. Would you like to volunteer at Wally's House? You can call Jackie at 541-247-3340. If you'd like to donate items for foster kids, they always need new pajamas, socks, and underwear, and backpacks or bags for their belongings. You can drop off at the Gold Beach location or call 541-247-5437 to arrange a pickup. You can help a struggling family buying groceries. You can volunteer at your local schools. So there's some tips to do out there. And always remember, you call law enforcement or DHS hotline if you suspect or witness child abuse or any neglect of any type. You can call 541-756-5500 or 1-800-500-2730 for that. Yeah, so there you go. That's a good thing. Nice little public service announcement. I'd like to make those when we get them, which you can send to us as well. Just send to me, CaptainCurry1@hotmail.com, and I will make sure and get it on the air. Thank you.